Welcome to the Photo Field Notes podcast, where you'll find stories, tips, and inspiration from professional photographers to get you taking action in your own business and making your business dreams a reality.
Hey everybody, this is Ali Ciardo, and today we're talking with Krista Renee Mazak from Krista Renee Photography. And I love Krista's story because she actually started her photography business when she was really young by comparison to a lot of us, and has a fun story about starting in college and building her company to a point where when she graduated from college, she jumped into it full time. And Krista, you have so many great lessons that you've learned along the way that I know you want to share with listeners today. So let's just start with your story, where you got started, how you fell into photography, and we'll jump into different sections along the way. Let's get started.
Yeah, sounds great. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited. So I started actually my freshman year of college, and I majored in business. And when I chose that major, I had no intentions to go into photography. I was thinking more maybe like retail management or just something along that route. It was a super broad major. And so, halfway through my freshman year, I used all of my Christmas money and I went to Best Buy and walked out with my first DSLR camera, and I was like freaking out. Like, I was like, oh my gosh, I just spent $500 on this. Like, what did I just do? And didn't like really help me out at all at the beginning. And that was like so helpful though, like for me or whatever, just to learn about that and like to use money wisely. And so for the next few months, I would drag whichever friends I could possibly find outside and take pictures of them, whether they liked it or not. And I just loved it, and I enjoyed taking the pictures. I enjoyed editing a lot, and so then I started kind of like advertising some, and do not do this if you're a starting photographer, but like those $25 senior sessions went fast.
Oh my gosh.
It was such a good, I know, it's like crazy thinking back, but it was like such a good time for me to really practice and get better, as well as like starting to build that client base really early on. And so that was my freshman year of college, and it was great, but I still had 3.5 years of college left. I was full-time. I was actually working another job at my school, and so it was a lot. And through college, I tried to keep building my business, and I ended up I went ahead and quit working that second job to just focus on photography. And sometimes it'd be really discouraging. Like during the summers, I remember like having literally full months of zero photo shoots and just being like, oh my goodness, Krista, like, what are you doing? But I stuck with it, even though it could be discouraging. And it was, it's like so rewarding just doing what you love. And that's really why I stuck with it, because I just really enjoyed it. And so I went through college, and then right before senior year, I went through a breakup, like a long-term relationship ended. And I also had gone to the Caitlin James workshop, which are both like huge things. And it really was a good point for me to like step back from my business and what I was doing and just really refocus. And I remember thinking like, what am I doing that I can look back in years to come and feel like I made a difference? Like, I want to do more than just show up on a couple's wedding day and take their pictures and then go home. Like, and I really started wanting to build relationships like deeper than just taking pictures with my couples at that point. And so that's something like Caitlin James really emphasized too. And so I wanted to like impact people. And that's just something I really focus on even today. And that was just a really big shift then, of really investing in my couples and building relationships with them where they feel like I'm a friend through the process, where they, you know, will even like go out for coffee or sushi, like not even just to talk about wedding stuff. And that was just a really big turning point for me. But then I started my senior year, and again, it was busy season with the fall. I was finishing up college, and it was just a lot. I felt completely burnt out. I wasn't sleeping. I wasn't eating right. I just felt like there was no time. And that was a really hard season too, but like such a good learning season, because I was able to learn things about like marketing hands-on. So like if you're, you know, drowning, like maybe you should go up on pricing, like stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And it was so good and so helpful learning that, like not even in a classroom setting, which I was learning about too, but just like for learning for myself. And so I also kind of learned just like the value of efficiency. I was shooting weddings on weekends. I was trying to prepare for exams, and it was a lot. And I found even if it's just 10 minutes between class, that's 10 minutes more of editing to get done. And that all adds up like so much each day. And so, you know, you might have found me like editing in my car while I was waiting for something, or just like randomly here and there during lunchtime in college. It wasn't a time to always sit back and hang out with friends. It was a lot of editing, a lot of homework, answering emails, and it took a lot of discipline. But since it was something I loved so much, like I just, like photography was my dream, it really helped me like work towards that. So then when I graduated, I could go full time. And I also had to learn like it is okay to say no. And there was a point I was so busy to the point of exhaustion. And like, I remember one client wasn't happy with me about something and it just pushed me over the edge. And I felt like I couldn't be a good photographer, couldn't also do well in school. And, you know, on and on goes the pity party. But I realized like, it's not a failure to, you know, refer a client to one of your great friends who's also an incredible photographer so that you can really take the time to focus on your clients. So those are just such valuable lessons that I had just learned hands-on. And so now, by God's grace and a lot of prayer, a lot of coffee, I was able to finish college. Yeah, it was a lot. And I was able to finish with a degree in business and a minor in photography. I still remember sitting there during graduation, texting my second shooter, like, what time to be there tomorrow? Because the 2 days after graduation, we shot two weddings. And it was just a dream to be able to be done with school and just do this full time. And since I had started freshman year, I was able to build up my business. And so by the time I was a senior, a lot of people I knew in college were getting married or, you know, planning their wedding. And so that was really cool. And I built a lot of relationships through that and was able to shoot some of their weddings. And so I totally get how hard the balance is between pursuing your dream but also having other responsibilities. So for me, it was college. I know for some, you know, it might be another job. It takes a lot of time, patience, hard work, again, a lot of coffee, a lot of late nights, but it was just so, so worth it.
All right, let's break those down. You talked about four topics that are so intertwined, so related. So one, you talked about within finding meaning in your photography and building relationships and making a difference and not just showing up on the wedding day and delivering images. So that is obviously a commitment of time. So that's resources. And then efficiency, yes, which is also kind of like making good use of your time. So you're committing more time per couple, but you're also trying to be efficient. In that, you talked about raising your prices because you realize that you cannot deliver that client experience for everybody if you're not charging enough. And if you're getting a lot of inquiries, you have to raise your prices to keep your sanity. And so when you raise your prices, okay, so there's saying no comes in a few forms. One, you're saying no by raising your prices. You're saying no to working with everybody because you're putting yourself at a price point where not everybody can afford you. And that in itself is the best way for me, I've found, to say no. You just say, you know what, I'm not going to leave the house for less than this amount. And that is going to weed people out.
Exactly. Yeah.
So yeah. So beyond that, saying no, actually saying no to people. And I found this year, I think I've done the best job of it ever. And I'm feeling so good. I'm like patting myself on the back finally. Because I actually, for weddings, for example, I've blocked off weekends where I'm like, I'm not going to shoot on this weekend or this weekend or this weekend. I'm not going to shoot every single weekend because I know I'll burn out. Or with portrait sessions, I'm not going to do sessions every single night. I'm only going to do them on this day. And I'm not going to do portraits on the weekend. And if you want a weekend session and that's that, like, I'm referring you out. So talk to me a little bit about how that's all come together for you. And especially because you were kind of forced into it, right? You had so much going on. You had college, which was essentially like your second job. A lot of people do have, they might work full time, they might be in school. So tell me what that looked like once you finally graduated and you had so much extra time. How did you actually make this work? Like, what did it look like for you to be delivering so, going above and beyond for your couples and then balancing it all out? Like, what did you take from that? How did you do that?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And that was kind of a lot, like, of incredible points you mentioned. So, like, the thing about going up on pricing, the nice thing about that is with weddings, when you go up on pricing, that means couples who really want you there are going to hire you. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's not like you're just the cheapest option in town, so they're going to, like, work you to death to try to get, you know, every penny out of you. And, you know, sometimes it's sad because you almost sometimes have to, you know, start somewhere to get, you know, some under your portfolio and on your website. But so that was like the major thing about going up on pricing is like the couples there, it was an investment for them now. And so they want me there. And so it just makes a huge difference. Like for me on the wedding day, it's just a much happier experience. I'm trying to remember everything you mentioned.
Going into that a little bit further, I found that, okay, so with raising prices and you're forcing people into saying no because they can't necessarily afford you, and even if they really like you, the pricing's not a fit. So when I respond to an inquiry, I say, if my pricing and my style are a fit, then let's set up a meeting. And I think I used to just take everything so personally. So if somebody was like, no, pricing's too high, I was like, oh my gosh, they don't value me, they don't like me. And so I tried for so long to have packages that were like, you know, lower and could accommodate everybody. And then I just realized, you know what, I only want to shoot so much and leave the house so much. And I'm just not going to do it for you at that price. So I think that you have to, A, you know, build up, and B, you can't take it personally. You have to understand that it is business. And when it comes to pricing, some people just can't pay those prices. So anyway, I digress. Go ahead.
Exactly. Yeah, that makes complete sense. And I'm definitely a people pleaser. So that was something really hard for me. If like when I didn't hear back, I was like, oh no, like what is wrong with me? What is wrong with my style? But like, it's just so much worth, even if it's a little bit less weddings, now I'm able to invest more in those couples. And I do things like, I always try to like take them to coffee before they officially book. Sometimes it doesn't work out, but I'll still try to like have a phone call with them just to like show I'm there to build that relationship with them. And so that they can like kind of talk to me in person. And then I also send them a welcome package. And in it, I include a 70-page bridal guide. I include just like a personal little notepad, and just some other things, a personal note, some candy for them for like the late nights of wedding planning. And you can't do stuff like that if you're not making enough, if that makes sense. Like,
absolutely.
I can't give back, you know, anything really worth it. And so I love that I am able to do stuff like them and gift them with little things here and there because of that. So I totally get what you're saying. And then I'm trying to remember like the other things you mentioned besides pricing.
Let's see. So we went through relationship building, which you just talked about.
Yeah,
so you're
yeah.
like meeting with them in person, you're sending them personal gifts, you have these personal touch
exactly.
points. And then we talked about pricing, efficiency. So when you're actually working with a client, you obviously want to pour into them and you want to gift them and you want to spend time with them, but you also have to balance, you know, the amount of work that you're putting in versus the amount of money that you are making. You know, it is a love, it's a passion. We all do this because we love it, but at the end of the day, it is a business. So when it comes to efficiency, how are you managing your time?
Yeah, so I think it's really important to have a really good workflow down. And that way, so I shoot and edit, and my turnaround rate is pretty quick because of that workflow. One thing I use to manage invoices, contracts, etc., is HoneyBook, and that really helps me stay organized with all of my wedding clients. And helps them to be able to go in and see like how much they owe. And it's just like really great for my records too, because, you know, I obviously can't remember everything about each couple, you know, it's over 20 couples. And so that really helps me out too.
I'll second having a system.
Yeah.
I know. I mean, having a system, I think, is like the thing that changed my business overnight, where I was like, whoa, what was I doing before this? Where
exactly.
It just keeps me so much more organized. It's like hiring a personal assistant. It's so worth investing in a system to just keep everything organized. So anyway, keep going.
No, it really is. And then before that, I used 17 Hats. And I like HoneyBook better, but 17 Hats is a little bit more affordable. But it still basically does, like, a lot of the same things. But I needed something to, like, stay organized. Because I remember people asking me, like, my first year of shooting weddings, like, hey, how much do I owe now? And having, like, a little inner crisis of, like, oh, my gosh, like, going through my bank statements, like, how much have they paid me? And that's just so unprofessional. So it's, like, so important investing in a good organizational system, like for yourself and for your couples. And so that's been really helpful too. Another thing that I really implemented is having emails written beforehand, and you can save them in canned responses. So like when a couple inquires, I'm sending like the same email to all of them, and then I'll go in and change a few things, obviously, like put, you know, a little more personal note in there, put their names in there, their date in there and venue, but already having an email set up so I'm not starting from scratch every time I get an inquiry. And that has saved me so much time on emails. And I don't know if that's like something you do or not, but like I know so many photographers even sell their like email templates and stuff. And that might be something great to look into.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think having those emails pre-written and, you know, you can adapt them over time. Absolutely. I love experiment.
Exactly.
I experiment all the time. So I start with my base template and I might like tweak a little something and see if I get a better response with that. So I think, yeah, have templates, but like be okay with experimenting and seeing if things make it a little bit better.
Yeah.
So then one last thing on efficiency, when you actually, after you've done the shoot or you've shot the wedding, what does your workflow, you don't have to go into every detail, but what does your workflow look like? Do you like block off days for editing? Do you do it in little bits to keep yourself inspired? How do you manage it?
Yeah, exactly. So what I actually do is I will have my second shooter import as much of the wedding as possible during the reception. And so that's something I implemented in the last year that's made a huge difference. And that way, when I get home, basically about the whole wedding, except for, you know, maybe that last memory card is imported. It also like helps me be safer, like having the wedding in just one more place. And so I try to cull, which is, you know, going through and picking which images to edit. I try to go through the wedding that evening or the next day. And the sooner you do it, the better, like while you're still excited about it, while you're still, you know, really motivated to like see, you know, the whole wedding. And I use Photo Mechanic for that. And it allows me to go through it super quick and just pull the ones into Lightroom, which is my editing software that I want to edit. And once I get into Lightroom, I go ahead and organize the images by section. I'll have a section for details, you know, the bride and bridesmaids, the groom and groomsmen. And that really helps me too. I'm very visual, so it helps me to see like each one in each section. And I'll sort the images that way. And then I'll go ahead and pick which images I want to edit for the blog first. And I'll go through and like rate those and edit those. And then from there, it's really a lot quicker to go through and just like sync the edits. Sorry, it's like I'm like literally using my hands. I'm so visual. Like the images around it in Lightroom, you can sync your edits. And so it makes it a lot quicker that I already have the blog images edited. And then I can just select the images around it and sync that edit. But I'm also going to try something new. I'm going to try outsourcing some of my wedding editing too, just to allow for that time and stuff so I can like focus on other areas of my business too. But I have done almost all of my editing like myself. Like I think I had my second shooter edit a couple weddings last year because we had 7 weddings in May. But yeah, so I do try to get it done pretty quick. I try to have it back to my clients within 2 weeks. Sometimes it can be a little bit longer if there's a lot of weddings at once. But I always try to under-promise and over-deliver. So I'll say, you know, give me 5 weeks. And I'll normally have it in their inbox in 2 weeks. And so part of that is trying to shoot right in camera. Part of that is just staying on top of things with editing and not pushing it off, even though that can be so easy to do. But yeah, so that's my workflow.
Nice. And then, so you said you're also blogging. Are you blogging every single wedding?
I blog most of my weddings. There's been just a few exceptions. Nothing personal or anything, just with the timing and stuff. It was just been, you know, a little bit too much time or whatever. But yeah, I do try to blog almost all of my weddings. And so my couples get excited to see it. And then it also makes it easier to submit them for publication if I already have my favorite saved like in a folder, and that way I can just upload that when I'm submitting for publication too.
Yeah, that's good advice. And some of those things I haven't even implemented myself. You know, you get so stuck in your own system. So I tend to blog like a year later, but I do it. Whatever you can do,
exactly.
Right? Whatever you can do without feeling guilty.
Exactly. And I think it's going to be different for like every single photographer. Like, you know, I've heard photographers, you know, regularly blog the wedding, you know, 2 or 3 days after they shoot it. Everyone has their own system. And I think it's really important to find what works for you and like what doesn't, you don't want to kill yourself, obviously, but like what helps you stay on top of things, but also, you know, allows you to enjoy your job, because you're not going to enjoy it if you're running around trying to meet these like deadlines, you know, impossible deadlines you've set for yourself. So sometimes I blog a few days after the wedding. Sometimes it could be, you know, a week or a little bit. It just really depends.
Yeah, I think it's so important that we give ourselves, you know, we give ourselves a pat on the back for what we can do, but we can't be too hard on ourselves for things. Like, for example, I have 2 kids, so when I get home from the wedding on Saturday night, I'll back everything up, I'll put my hard drive in a safe, you know, get it on the computer, And the next day, I'm typically with them. Like, we might drive up to our sailboat for the day, and I've kind of worked out an agreement that I'm going to hop on my computer and pick a few images to share during the drive so that I can get a little preview up. And I set that expectation with my couple. You know, I have an email go out automatically the next day that says, look this week for a preview, but I don't set the expectation that it's necessarily going to be that day. I love it if I can get it up that day, but I give myself, you know, I give myself that grace that if it doesn't happen, it's okay. You know, like, life is still important. We can't let business get in the way of our life. So, yeah, give yourself some
exactly. And I found that, like, if I feel rushed to, like, get something posted, I just don't like it as much. Then if I can, like, sit back, really pick one of my favorite images, spend time, you know, editing it the best way I can. Mm-hmm. And when I'm just feeling rushed, you know, throwing something up on social media, I often look back and think, like, yeah, like, that could have been better, you know? So it's just so important to, like, give yourself that grace. And, like, and people, they do understand. Like, they say you are your worst critic, and that's so true. Like, I can be so hard on myself sometimes, and that's something I'm learning, too, is just, you know, just other people understand the grace, too, and that if you need, you know, a day off, like, it's okay. And so my couples this year are just so incredible. So it's just been a blast.
Yeah, I think as you learn, just things do get better and better. So last thing, okay, mm-hmm. going into that same note, when you're actually, let's say you're booked or you're just trying to give yourself a little bit of time off and you don't want to take on too much work, you said you're referring them out to people. How do you manage that so you don't feel guilty?
Yeah, exactly. So thankfully, I live in Greenville, South Carolina, and there I joke with people, there's like 5,000 photographers here. There's so many. And so instead of viewing that as like competition, it's easier to view it as a community. And so it's so great having like great friends, even ones that like I've mentored or that have shot with me in the past that are building their own businesses that I can refer them to. Some of my best friends live in Hendersonville, North Carolina, and which is like 45 minutes away. And so we always like refer brides to each other first because we're very similar. We have very similar styles. I know they'll take great care of them. And I want, obviously, brides, even if they can't use me, I still want them to have an incredible experience. So I, always try to send them to someone that I trust that does have a similar style to myself. And I'm just like, it's just such a blessing because there's specifically like one photographer in town who is just crazy busy, and she'll refer brides to me like all the time, and a lot of them have booked. And so, you know, it's just been like such a blessing to me, and I want to make sure I'm doing that to other people and also like helping these brides out because wedding planning is a lot. And so I send them more than one suggestion. Sometimes if they tell me like, hey, you're just not in my price point, do you know of any photographers you know, who maybe are just starting out, we want to spend like X amount on our wedding. So even then I can still send them ones like, hey, you know, I know this girl is just starting. I mentored them. They do a great job. Stuff like that. So it's so like important and vital to build that community, not only for like referrals, but just to have someone else who understands like how hard it can be to be a small business owner, to be a wedding photographer, someone who will text you the day after the wedding and say like, how's that wedding hangover going? So I think it's so vital to build that community.
Yeah. And I think everyone appreciates that so much when you refer. I mean, the person who you're, the client who you're giving advice to is so appreciative that you're doing that. And it just makes, I know it makes me feel better if I can do that. So anyway, Krista, this is great. I love your story. I love the lessons that you've learned along the way that you're sharing today. Are there any just final thoughts? Maybe it's something that you wish you would have done differently. Maybe it's a piece of advice for photographers out there that they haven't thought of. What are the final thoughts that you want to leave as kind of your overarching lesson with listeners today?
Yeah, I would say the hardest things I did was just comparing too much at the beginning. I thought my business had to be just like this other person's, or I had to do, you know, my photos had to look just like, you know, someone else's. And that can really take a lot of the joy away. So someone explained it to me really well. And they said like, yeah, you know, sometimes you do need to look around, but other times it's really important to keep your head down and just go. And that was like such great advice. So if you're just starting, like just follow your dream, work hard, do your best. Sometimes, yeah, it is important to look around and see what other people are doing around you. But often, you know, you get the most done if you just keep your head down and do what you need to do. So, and also like, don't give up. Like it can be so hard. And being a small business owner, it can be like so discouraging some days, and you just aren't going to see that on someone's social media. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, it looks like, yeah. So it looks like they're killing it. And then you're over there like, I'm trying to book a photo shoot, but just keep keep going. It will come. Like, patience, you know?
Yeah, that's good perspective, definitely. All right, and then can listeners find you?
Ooh, okay, I love Instagram. So you can follow me on Instagram. My username is Krista. It's spelled with a C-H, underscore Renee, R-E-N-E. So I love Instagram. I also have a Facebook photography account, facebook.com/KristaReneePhotography. And then my website, which is KristaReneePhotography.com. So I'd love, if you send me a little message, I would love to hear, you know, your story or whatever and answer any questions I can. So, but thanks so much for having me.
Yes, and thank you so much for sharing. So I'll put those links in the show notes and you can go over to the podcast, photofieldnotes.com, to check out some of Krista's work and get those links. So Krista, thank you again for sharing today.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me, Allie.
Thanks for listening. Check out show notes at photofieldnotes.com. And if you loved this episode, leave your review on iTunes. See you next week.